Life Problems series last week, and I really enjoyed that. I hope that you did, and I hope it was a blessing. Some of you have come to me, and you've shared with me how the Lord spoke with you during that time of that series. So none of you should be lonely, comparing anything, bitter, or what else? There were several of them, wasn't there? What else was there? Anybody else got another one? What? Fearful? Shouldn't be fearful. Should be able to stand up and say, I'm not afraid because I'm not bitter or lonely. And that's what you can do. Tonight I have a simple truth I want to share with you. I pray this morning. I said, Lord, I don't know what to give tonight. Put something on my heart. And he did this. And I love this passage. And we're going to speak about a parable in Matthew 25. Now, you know that a parable is an earthly story representing a heavenly meaning. And it was the Lord's way to deliver a lesson or a message or a sermon and to use the earthly happening that they were familiar with to give the truth apart. And I want to speak to you, think about this just for a moment, about, you know, doing your best. Do we do our best? A lengthy passage. Let's look at it. Matthew 25. We'll start in verse 14. I may stop in some of it, but he begins with verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven. So he's going to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, is as a man traveling into a far country who called on his servants and delivered unto them his goods. So he's going to a far country. He has his possessions, his goods. He's going to leave those to these servants. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And so these men, their abilities, they were at different levels of abilities. And the master, the Lord, knew to share what with on these possessions of his. And so he says, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that hath received 5 talents went and traded the same and made them over 5 talents. So he's doubled the investment for the master. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. So he's doubled the investment of the master. But only goats, but sheep don't. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, it's been a long time, hasn't it? I've been waiting for the Lord to come back. Seems like it's been a long time. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And when Jesus comes, he's going to reckon with us. Okay? I believe when the rapture takes place, the first thing that's going to take place is going to be that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 judgment. Not for condemnation, but there's going to be that judgment. He's going to reckon with us. And so, let's see. Verse 20, and so he that had 5 talents, or received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done. That's what I want to hear. That should be our goal. You know, I'd rather hear him say, well done, than hear deacons say, Pastor, it's a great message. I hope to hear both of them. I'd rather hear well done than wifey say something. I'd rather hear both of them. I'd rather hear well done than my children and my grandchildren saying, Papa, Dad, we just love you. I want you to know, listen to me. There's not a thing you're doing today that's going to be more important than this right here. Well done. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Everybody can be good and faithful. He didn't say, thou brilliant intellectual, thy handsome. Boy, some of you be left out on that, let me tell you. All right, we're picking on Patrick tonight, I think. It's pick on Patrick's night. Yeah. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. You believe that? I believe if we're faithful now, God's got a lot for us to do when we get over there. Enter thou, what? Into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. I want to tell you, we ought to be more concerned pushing to be rewarded to the Lord than what this world has to give us. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou had not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, now this is the master, this is the Lord, vile, wicked, and slothful. He says that you're a sinner and you're lazy. That's what he's saying to him. Wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. He says you could have at least, instead of burying it in the earth, you could at least invested it and got interest off of that. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him with which hath 10 talents. He trusts that fellow for sure. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall hath abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye this unprofitable, and he's called him wicked, he's called him slothful, and he says he's an unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. Now, I know this is not talking that he loses his salvation and he throws him into hell. It's not what he's talking about here. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, the Lord shared this parable to get, and he's given this earthly story so that we can get the heavenly meaning about doing our best. Someone has said, whatever is worth doing at all is worth doing well. And when Jesus uses a parable, he puts it down on the level of teaching the lesson, but it's not just a story. It's not just story time. He has a principle that he wants us to understand. Tonight, there's a life lesson about giving our best. You know, we're living in a terribly mediocre world. It is worse than it's ever been. I was with Debbie and Ella, and we stopped at this place. I don't want to name it since we're on social media. But see me after the service, and I'm just teasing. But we stopped at this place, and they can't even, they can't even take in us. And so I speak into the, window, and then she doesn't get it right, and I have to tell her 3 different times. And then, God help me when they ask me to pull up. Because, you see, it's fast food. You're not supposed to pull up, and I don't normally pull up. And Debbie says, great, they're going to spit in our food now, And so I pull up, and I get to the window, and they said, would you please pull up? And I said, there's no cars behind me. I'll just sit right here. There's no cars behind me. They said, no, we need you to pull up. And I said, no, there's no one behind me. If someone pulls up behind me, I'll consider pulling up. Well, then a man came up to me, the manager, I think, said, sir, would you please pull over there? I said, okay. Because Debbie and Ella were underneath the seat, and they didn't like that kind of stuff. So I pulled over there. So there's several cars over there. So they're coming out with orders on the parking lot, and they're switching. And I had gotten, I think it was, I had gotten a milkshake, but I think it was low fat on that milkshake. And it must have been, because when I took the lid off, it was half full. Half of it was not there. Half of it was not there. And I told him, I said, excuse me, sir. I said, first of all, this is not hers, so I gave it back to him. And a lady in the other car says, I think that one's mine. And I said, look at my milkshake. It's only half full. You know, please, may I have more, you know. May I have more? And he goes on and says, well, the way it works is when we blend it up, it goes down to there. Now, I want to tell him that I'm almost 68 years old. This is not my first milkshake. I've had a few. It's just terrible. One night during the preaching conference, there's a restaurant we always use because it's open the latest. And when you have two preachers, it's late. And I try to feed the preachers, and we're going in. We have about 45 minutes till closing time. And we come through the front door, and they stop us. And they said, you can't eat here. And I said, what time do you close? And they said, we close at 10 o'clock. And I said, well, it's like 9:15, 9:20. And they said, well, we're closing. I said, what time do you close? They said, 10 o'clock. I said, well, it's 9:15. And they said, well, you can't eat here. I said, well, what time do you close? I said, it's at 10 o'clock. I said, but it's 9:15. And I haven't been back to that restaurant since then. It's just mediocre. We went into a Subway, and it's like an hour before they close, and they're mopping the floor and got the chairs up on the table, you know. And the light is turned off that says open, and they have it dim, and they're like they're closed. It's just mediocre. And we shouldn't expect much more, you know. You go to a Cracker Barrel, and they have like police tape taped off a whole section because they can't get people to even come in and work after COVID. You know, I think someone's still drawing free money. But the children of God should do their best at everything that we do. You know, I want you to know this concept, they don't pay me enough to do this money. Well, if you took the job for that money, you ought to do the best that you can do. And we see a principle here that the Lord is teaching us that we should give our best. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So heart, right back here. Now, the Bible tells us that nothing in this earth is going to last forever. Listen to me. Your car is not going to last forever. Your house is not going to last. It's going to deteriorate. Clothes do not last forever. We don't need the Bible to teach us this. We know this firsthand. But we do need the Bible to learn the important lesson that do not make earthly things most important. Everything that we have is going to burn one day. This world is going to be consumed and burned. And the Bible certainly teaches us that we're going to die one day lest Jesus comes again. Amos 4:12 says, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. So we don't need the Bible to tell us that we're going to die. We know that. The Bible states it clearly, though. And we need the Bible to tell us that we need to be prepared to die. Now, contrary to the Declaration of Independence, God didn't create all men equal. It's just a fact. Sam Coates said, the saying was, God created man, and Sam Colquitt created all men equal. I think that was what was said. We're not all equal in here. Many of us are unique, but not equal. And there's a great Bible lesson to be learned from this truth of this parable, and the lesson that will help us in our Christian walk, because we're not equal. Not one of us here. Let me give you 2 points and I'll be done. Number one, our best is good enough no matter how little or small it is. I was about a year ago. I had run some tests. It was a little bit, maybe a little longer than that, but they were doing the second battery of tests for me to have this second surgery. And I go to the Jackson Clinic, and there's a little lady in there, and she runs that place, and she knows what she's doing. Little, short, black nurse, very smart, very sharp. And I go in there, and it's a really cute little girl, about like Ella, just about, looks about like you, about your size, just a kid. And she comes up, she says, "Okay," she says, "this is my first time. Is that okay?" And I said, "Well, we all got to start sometime." That's what I said to her. She said, "Okay, here we go." I said, "All right." I said, "There it is." So she puts that band around there. And I said, "You want me to pump it?" She, "Oh, yeah, here, put this in your hand and pump that." So I'm pumping that out. And the little nurse who runs the place is behind her watching it. You know, and she says, "Oh, I'm just so nervous." I'm thinking, "Sister, you think you are, you know." I said, "It's okay. It's going to be fine. Everybody's got to start somewhere." I said, "I'm glad I get to be your first customer. This is going to be good. Let's do this." And she said, "Okay." So she sticks the needle in and she sits there and she says, "Is it okay if I wiggle it around some?" Well, she said, and I said, "Uh-huh." And she's wiggling it around, and she's going, "Oh, oh, I know that hurts." I said, "Uh-huh." Nothing's coming out. And then the supervisor, the lady who runs the place, comes, she said, "You got to go deeper." She took it, and she shoved it in, and blood started coming out like crazy. And she took 3 vials of blood, and she said, "How'd I do?" I said, "Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, don't tell people this is your first time. They don't know that unless you tell them. Don't tell them you're new. Tell them, roll your sleeve up, please. Be authoritative. Number two, don't ask people if you can wiggle the needle. Just do it. Just do it till you hit pay dirt. I promise you, my hand, I'm not outliving. I'm not adding anything to this. Just do it." And I said, "But you did great, and you're going to do a good job." That's what I told her. You know, I thought, here's a young kid in here trying to learn, wanting to do her best. And understand this, our best. And I told her, she said, "Well, I really tried." I said, "Did you do your best?" She said, "Yes, I did." I said, "You know what? You can never do more than your best. Our best is enough no matter how little it is." Now notice 5 and 2 talents, they're not equal. I mean, we learned that in school, didn't we? There's 5 apples on this tree. Remember, Joy, and there's 2 apples on this tree. And Joy was a little girl, and we were trying to teach her, and 3 apples fell off of this tree. So how many apples are on the tree? And she'd pull her hair and cry and say, "Why did the apples have to fall off the tree?" You know. And, you know. But this is how God works. God works through us, and he gives us the talents that we have. If you can sing, let me tell you this. I'm not talking about you're croaking up there. I'm talking about you really can sing. That's talent on loan from God. If you can play an instrument, that's talent on loan from God. You know, if you can do up, figure out things, machinery, and you can take a mess and in a few minutes get it up and going and running, that's talent on loan from God. All that we are and all that we have, God has given to us. And we see here that our best is good enough no matter how little it is. This one man had five talents. This other man had two. They were not equal. Verse 15, he gave five talents to another two and to another one. And this is how God works with us. Listen, I learned a long time ago, I'm not a Dr. J. Frank Norris. I'm not a Dr. John R. Rice. I'm not a Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I am Rick Savage. I am me. I must work with what God has given me to work with. And I may never have the kind of ministries that those men had, but God doesn't expect that of me. What God expects of me is my best. And that's what he expects of you. Now notice the truth in verse 20 through 23. I love this. Can't miss it. And so he, in verse 20, and so he that had received five talents came and brought the other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I've gained beside them five talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, the five-talent man produced five talents. And the two-talent man produced two talents. Each man did his best with what God had given him. To their, what was the passage there? Their to their ability. I can't find the verse now, but anyway, you got it. And the Lord, notice his attitude. He gives one five talents, he gives another two talents, but the reward, the blessing, you know, our best is good enough, he gives them the same reward. Amen. He doesn't say, you know, because I gave you five and you got ten, you're going to live in the higher place, the penthouse of heaven. And you know, you who had two talents, we got a really nice cabin in the corner of Glory Land for you. There's no cabins in heaven. The reward, he gives the very same reward to both these men. And here's the truth that we get from this. Our best is good enough, no matter how little we are or how little we have. Amen? You see, if we understand this truth, it should transform us. Because God gives some more abilities than other. I remember being in Bible college, and when we would have our first professional training class with Dr. Gray and with all the preacher boys, and all of us were in there, freshmen, sophomore, juniors, seniors, all of us in there. And the freshmen would get up, and they'd have to introduce themselves, and many of them had been in military, and Trinity had a military exchange program where they could take courses while in military. And some of these guys would get up and they'd scream. I remember, airborne! I was airborne. I was ranger. And I'm going to go out and build the biggest, you know, they're nowhere to be found. These other guys, and, you know, I'm thinking, I'm over here in the corner. I can break bricks, you know. But I can't do that. I can't do this. You know what? It's God that does all of it. You see, we see that our best is enough. Now, understand this. Many folks, they go through life miserable. Many folks go through life unsatisfied. They're always comparing themselves to somebody else that has more ability, more talents than what they have. And God says to them, are to us, that's not wise. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know what I learned a long time ago? It's not the size of the wand, it's the amount of power in the wand. It don't matter what you have, what abilities you have. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the origin which you came from. God will not judge us by somebody else's ability. God will not judge us by somebody else's talents, but he will on our own. And what he desires of us is that we do that we give our best. The question is not, are we doing as good as our brother? Are we as capable as our brother? But are we doing our best with what God has given us? We consider quickly the widow's mite in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. It's like a penny. It's a very not much value. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow had cast more in than all they which had cast into the treasury. Now, first of all, it's interesting that Jesus is sitting over by the treasury, watching who is putting in and what they're putting in. Don't come to church and say, God don't care about the offering. God don't care about the tithe. Let me tell you, when God walked here, he sat right by the box. He might have said, let me have that envelope. Is that your best? You know, he didn't do that. But we see here that her best was much less than the others, yet Jesus said she gave more than any because she gave her best. You know, what she had given was less than all the others. Our best is good enough no matter how small or how little it is. Number two, and I'll be done. Anything less than our best is not good enough, no matter how great it is. That's the other point of this side, this principle. You getting this? You see, you ought to do your best in your, you know, everyone here's got something to do your best. You ought to do your best when you run those marathons. Do your best. You know, you ought to do your best in school and just get as good as you can get it. You know, do your best at your job. You know, make your boss, if he can't afford a raise, make him wish he could give you a raise. You know, make yourself valuable. Anything less than our best is not good enough, no matter how great it is. Now, this man, verse 24, who had the one talent, I want you to see, verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. Isn't it interesting the perspective this man has towards the master? Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. He says, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now, notice the problem. First of all, he didn't believe the Lord was fair. You know, can I tell you this? God is just. He is sovereign. The fair comes to town once a year. And God, you know, this thing about fair, you know. Now, Debbie and I, we've had some disputes about some of this. You know, she wants to be fair with all the grandkids. I'm not that way. If $15 makes Bear happy and $150 makes Ella happy, I'm happy. You know, don't cross your arms like at me at that. You did. It didn't matter a thing. You were as happy as could be. But I'm just saying, if it did. But Debbie, she's like, gotta be just, you know, let's, you know, let me do my ciphering here, and no. You see, this man felt slighted by God. He gave him five talents. He gave him two. Now let me tell you, all of us here at some time in our life wish that we were able to do something that somebody else could do. You know that? We all have. But we don't need to get bitter towards God or angry towards God. Since this one man was given five talents, he felt slighted. Then he didn't do anything. And he justified himself with this excuse in verse 25. And I was afraid. I was so afraid I just buried it. And I want you to know, God will not accept excuses, whether we're rich or poor or whatever the situation is. So, what is our excuse for not giving our best? Listen to what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 19. Again, thank you that we excuse ourselves unto you. Thank ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That doesn't mean that I can sing soprano or I can play the piano. What that means is, this verse is so taken out of context all the time. What it means is, I can do the will of God. I can do what I ought to do, is what this means. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now listen, Sunday school teachers and workers in Sunday school and bus captains and bus workers on the bus and children church, KJ Church ministries and workers and our deaf and our Spanish classes and our King's Kids ministry and our choir members and choir rehearsal and our nursery and those who keep the yard nice on the outside and those who keep the buildings nice on the inside and all of us in our giving and all of us in our praying and all of us in our service, God help us to give our best. Can I tell you, listen to me, when you stroll up late for choir rehearsal, that's not your best. When you stroll up late to be in the nursery, that's not your best. Can I tell you something? When you come in, our Sunday school starts at 9:45. You hold me back because you think it starts at 10. That's not our best. When we start the service and you don't get the first part of the service on in the media room because you got to wait 15, 20 minutes for the computer to get up, that's not our best. Is that our best? It's not. When the yard looks like it's. I want you to know, people aren't going to walk in or even consider coming here if they go by back and forth and it looks like an unkempt yard and the flower beds look terrible. They're not going to come on the inside. I'm saying we ought to give our best. God help us to do our best. When God looked down, he saw this lost, terribly condemned world. God gave his best. God gave his only begotten son. Surely we can give our best. The question is, will we? So the message and the principle tonight, don't you love it? I do. Doing our best. You may be here. I remember this. I was just a kid. I was at Bible college, and I was in Old Testament survey, and they're talking about the different kings, and they're talking about David and Joshua and Jacob and Abraham and Samson, and I remember after class looking at the guy next to me and said, "Man, wasn't that great? That was great." And he looked at me and said, "I knew that in K-5. And he did. They're a bunch of PKs and a bunch of evangelist kids and missionary kids and deacons kids and church kids that grew up. All this was new to me. First time I ever heard, ever. I'd never read through the Old Testament. It was great. And there's a preacher who got up, and this is what he said. "Gentlemen, let me tell you something. You got the call of God on your life, and I do." And he said, "You may not be a chandelier. You may not even be a 60-watt bulb. You might only be a 40-watt, but if you'll burn as bright at 40 watts as you can, God will bless you. And I want to tell you something. That's the truth, and God has. And God's people said, let's stand. Listen to me. We need to do our best. This is the house of God. This is God's house. This is God's property. This is not McDonald's, and this is not, you know, Perkins Restaurant, and this is not Jack's Restaurant. We don't tell people we're closed when we're still open for 45 minutes. We don't start picking chairs up and mopping the floor before closing time. I'm here working at Kroger as a teenager, and they're coming to us. Who will stay late after stores close and mop the whole store? And I would do that. We didn't do it if there was a spill on aisle four, we'd have to go clean that up. But we stayed behind, made extra money. It is pathetic, the work ethic in this country today. But let me tell you something, it's about as sad in the church sometimes. Things have got to be done. And let me tell you, folks, it's your church. And you need to embrace that truth. And you need to do your Father, help us. Help us to do our best. To be our best for you. Lord, you gave your best. You gave your only begotten Son. Help us to give our best. We give you half-hearted service, half-hearted effort. Shameful. It's a shameful thing. And I pray tonight that we could leave here a little lighter and encouraged and excited that we're going to push that reset button and we're going to give God our best in all that we do. If we sing a special, if we play an instrument, if we sing in the choir, if we keep the nursery, if we cut the yard, if we clean the buildings, if we change the light bulbs, we're not going to be asked to do something. We're not going to be told. We're going to see something needs to be done and just get it done. We want to do our best. We're going to be on time. We're going to do our best. Lord, help us to do our best. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Listen, people, get right with God in this area, and God will bless you. Come now.